Hey, we're going to dismiss the kids for Children's Church. Love our kids. Love our children's workers. We got a good group. We had a great meeting Thursday night talking about children's ministry, and there's lots of room for you to jump on that team and participate and help. We're going to be training new folks and just involving new folks, so you'll be hearing more about that. If you're interested, you can definitely check that on your Connect card or visit with Kari. She'd just love to involve you any way you'd like to be involved. One of these days, we'll get our room back over here. This distribution center has been working great to help meet the needs of our fire victims. And one of these days it'll be all finished and we're going to get to move our kids ministry back out there and get that all done. So looking forward to that. We call it the Why Project, and our kids are the why. We got to make sure we minister good to our children. Raise them up in the ways of the Lord, right? Because Satan sure works hard enough to raise them up in his ways. In the church, we ought to work really hard to teach our kids all about God. Don't you think so? Yeah, me too. Hey, we're in this series called Endurance, Redefining Life. You ever feel like God's trying to get you to think a little differently about things? Like 20 times a day, 100 times a day? God's going, hey, Kelly, no, let's think about that this way. Let's do that this way. I had several phrases that I've written down about endurance and kind of help define what this series is about. We talked a little bit about them last week. The ability to endure an unpleasant situation without giving way to it. You can endure it, get through it, and we like to say, great biblical word, overcome it. And that's kind of what this series is about. You and I getting strong so we can overcome. Not just endure it, get through it, but overcome it and win. That's what we're looking at. How many of you know that endurance is the price tag of achievement? You're never going to achieve anything unless you learn to just endure. And when we're talking about endurance, we're not talking about just get through it, like I've said. We're talking about an athlete that builds up their endurance so they can win the race. That's what we're talking about. Philip Yancey said, ability to bear a hard thing and turn it into glory. God's looking for some folks like you and I to bear that difficult thing and turn it into glory for him. I like this one, redefining the possible. Endurance is redefining the possible. God loves that. He loves to get you and I to do that. Here's a phrase that I thought was, I relate to this. Maybe some of you relate to this. First, you feel like dying, but then you feel reborn. There's a point in endurance where you feel like dying. You feel like it's not worth it. You feel like it's too hard. But when you push through and get that victory and overcome it, it's like you're reborn. It's like a new victory for you. And I like to relate it to the word resilience. The ability to resist, withstand, recover from, and have immunity to, I like that part of it, having immunity to trauma, wounds, or fatigue. It's called stamina. Building up that endurance. And we're talking about that today. I wanted to read Hebrews chapter 12. I think they're going to throw it up on the screen for us. Verses 1, 2, and 3. This is in the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, and that chapter 11 talks about all those people that did it. We talked about that last week. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance means you just don't quit. You keep getting there and you finish that race.
We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he's now seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people then you won't become weary and you won't give up. And I think the biggest lesson I really want us to learn at the end of this series is that because we have Jesus, we can win, we can endure, we can overcome, we can make it through it because we have Jesus. If you just look internally for strength to endure, you're going to give up quickly. I would. But when I know that God's with me and I'm doing God's will, I'm going to win. I'm going to endure. I'm going to have the strength and the stamina. I'm going to be resilient. And I'm going to be the Teflon kid. All that negative stuff will not stick to me. It will just slide right off as we go ahead. And you're going to have to tweet that. Somebody's going to have to tweet that. The Teflon kid or something. I don't know. Today we're going to talk about Moses. Moses had a lifestyle of endurance. What a great example. I thought we could just go through character after character after character in the Bible and talk about endurance. Moses, I think of everybody, maybe Moses had this lifestyle of endurance. Don't you know he was the least likely? Moses was born at a time when infanticide was being practiced. They were trying to exterminate the Jewish people, and they were trying to weaken the Jewish people to where the Egyptians made this law that all of the male Hebrew children that were born were supposed to be killed immediately when they were born. They tried to get the midwives to go ahead and execute the male children. And that's, you think you and I live in a bad day? That's a bad day, isn't it? Isn't that a bad day to be born? That's a bad time to be born. Well, Moses' mother decided she was going to keep her baby boy alive. Don't you love moms? So she hid the baby for 3 months. Around about 3 months, I don't know, he's crawling, getting noisy. It's like, I'm not going to be able to hide this little critter any longer. So she put him in the hands of God as she made this basket that was waterproof and put him in the river. And he floated down the river and he bumped into this lady who happened to be Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby boy in the basket, thought the stork had delivered it. No, that's a different story, right? Saw the baby boy in the basket and said, I'm going to take this boy and raise him as my son. Moses, the least likely. How do you think it worked out for somebody of the Hebrew race being raised in Pharaoh's house as his grandson, step-grandson? Do you think Moses experienced any prejudice? Do you think he had a bad day? Do you think he was picked on at all? Do you think so? I'm thinking he was. I'm thinking he was. But anyhow, Pharaoh fed the guy, clothed the guy, bought him birthday presents. The guy that's going to deliver the Israelite nation from the Egyptians. Pharaoh ended up feeding him, educating him, clothing him, buying him all the presents, taking care of him. So Moses grows up. He becomes this prince of Egypt. He becomes this amazing young man. One day while he's out and about, an Egyptian soldier is beating one of the Israeli slaves, and Moses just couldn't endure that. Moses has a strong sense of justice. And so Moses strikes out at this soldier, ends up killing the guy, buried him in the sand. The next day, two Israelis are arguing, and Moses strong sense of justice. Says, hey, knock it off. Quit picking on that guy. And one of the Israelis says, what, are you going to kill me today like you did the Egyptian yesterday? Moses is going, oh no, I'm in big trouble. I thought it was a secret, but it's not. And as soon as Pharaoh heard, he put that bounty on Moses' head, and Moses had to run for his life. I don't know how you would have felt that day, but I think that day I would have felt like I endured almost being killed as a baby. I endured being raised in Pharaoh's house. I've endured all of this for nothing. Now, I'm an outcast. Now I'm a wanted man. Now I'm running for my life. And I think he probably felt like endurance was wasted and it's never going to work out. I've felt that way before, haven't you? God, I've endured all of this and I think that was wasted because I haven't got the result and things are worse than ever. And I don't see any way this is going to work out good. And at that point, it would be really easy to give up. It would be really easy to quit. Moses runs out into the desert. What happens the first thing? There's these female shepherds trying to get water for their sheep. And these other male shepherds are chasing them off, being mean to them, won't let them water their sheep, and Moses, with a strong sense of justice, rises up, protects these ladies, defends them from the bad guys, lets their sheep come in and get a drink. And the girl said, you need to come home and meet my dad. I think they had some ulterior motives or something going on there. Like, this guy's cool. He was probably wearing some Egyptian stuff still. He probably had a membership to 24-hour fitness or something, you know. He was probably buff guy and good looking and had the latest haircut, one of those cool Egyptian haircuts, you know. He probably walked like an Egyptian. I don't know. You got to be old enough to even know what that was a joke, but some of the young people are going, that's stupid. No, that was really a joke, and if you're old, you get it. But anyway, the girls took him home. He ended up getting hired to be a sheep herder. He ended up marrying one of the girls. 40 years passes by. He's safe. He's at peace. Life's pretty good. I got a wife. I got a family. I got a job. I got mutton. Life's good. And all of a sudden, one day, this bush is on fire. And he says, I'm going to go see what's going on with that bush. That's a weird fire that's not being consumed, and it's flaming, and not like around here, right? We saw a fire, and it was consumed, but this was a fire, and the bush looked the same. God spoke to him and said, Moses, this place is holy ground. Take your shoes off, boy. And he took his shoes off. And he and God had this conversation. And God said, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt. And I want you to go deliver them and set them free. And Moses felt like he had to educate God. You ever feel like you had to educate God? God, I'm kind of wanted there. Like God doesn't know. They don't like me in Egypt. They never have. Like God doesn't know. By the way, I stutter. And you want me to go speak for you to Pharaoh? He had all these reasons it couldn't, wouldn't, shouldn't happen. Sound like you and I sometimes? When God asks us to do something and we give him these reasons why we couldn't, shouldn't do it, can't, won't. Moses actually made God mad that day. God said, no, I'm calling you. I'm sending you. Go. I'll be with you. Go. I'll give you this cool rod. It'll do snake tricks, and it'll part waters. It'll do lice. It'll do crazy blood stuff, and you'll love the rod. I'll give you a rod. Moses is going, I can't. It won't work. It's too late. I'm the wrong guy. I stutter. Did I mention I stutter? God finally said, who made your mouth? I did. And I will be with your mouth. I love that line. It's like, I'm not going to be with you, I'm going to be with your mouth. Like, I just kind of wish like God would do that with some other folks that I know. God, would you please be with her mouth? Please. She really needs help with that. I don't know why I said female, but God, will you please be with his mouth? He's a smart aleck and sarcastic and arrogant. Would you please be with his mouth? I don't know if you have trouble with your mouth or not. I'm pretty sure you do. Moses did. And God said, I'll be with that thing that you think limits you, that thing that you think troubles you, that excuse that you have of why you can't. I'm God. I created you, and I created everything, and I can change that for you, and I will change that for you. I just need you to go. I just need you to be somebody that's strong and will endure, will win this for me. Finally, Moses goes. A couple things happened on the way. His wife wasn't too happy, you know, a little bit of circumcision thing going on, and she shakes her finger at him and says, you're a bloody husband to me, and that's not a good day. There's some bad days when you obey God. There's some bad days in the family sometimes when you're obeying God. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's your spouse, sometimes it's your kids, sometimes it's your in-laws and your outlaws, and there's just some bad days, but you know what? You endure and get through those things because you're going somewhere and you're going to do something when you get there. Moses shows up with Aaron now because God said, all right, I'm sending Aaron. He can talk, right? I'll take that excuse away for you. I'll send Aaron. And he and Aaron went to Moses, and God says, let my people go. Moses says, why should I listen to you? Pharaoh says to Moses, why should I listen to you? Because I got a stick. This is a cool stick. This stick, watch, boom, it turns into a snake. Pharaoh goes, my magicians can do that too. Come on, boys. And he had guys that could do stick and snake tricks too. But finally, when that little thing ended, the cool thing was that Moses' snake ate their snakes. Don't you know that God's stuff always eats Satan's stuff? See, why would you not endure? Why would you not go ahead and get through it? Because God's bigger, God's better, God's stronger. And Satan can sometimes mess with you, but guess who's going to win? Every time, all the time, God wins. So why wouldn't you follow God? Why wouldn't you obey God? Why wouldn't you commit to a lifestyle of endurance, knowing that you're going to win? As long as you don't quit, as long as you don't stop, you will win. I love that about God. Because it's not about me, it's about him. It's not about Satan either. It's about God. I know some believers that make it more about Satan than they do about God. I know some believers that think the Antichrist is big, scary, powerful, guy. But God's bigger. I know some guys that really worry about 3.5 years where the Antichrist rules the world. That's 3.5 years. I've had a zit for 3.5 years. I mean, it's only 3.5 years. And so, yeah, he does his stuff. Yeah, that was more information than you wanted to know, wasn't it? I'm not going to tell you where it was, but I should read the Bible. But at the end of 3.5 years, Satan loses. God wins. I don't think I'm going through the tribulation. I'm a pre-trib guy. Hallelujah. But if I have to go through the tribulation, guess what? I will endure it, and I will run, because God's greater than Satan. And all I have to do is not quit. That's all I have to do. That's all I have to do. So Pharaoh, same thing, right? 10 times Pharaoh says no to God. 10 times. The last one was severe. There were frogs and lice and water to blood and fish died and darkness, and there was all those things. But on the last time, the firstborn of everybody in Egypt, except the Hebrews, died. Man, when you resist God, things go from bad to worse, bad to worse, bad to worse. There's a lot of Christians that end up resisting God, and I watch life go from bad to worse for them. I just want to encourage you, don't resist God. Resist evil. Resist Satan. But on that 10th plague, Pharaoh said, get out of here. And they loaded up. And when I say they loaded up, I mean they loaded up. They didn't just load up the kids and the donkey and the goat. They plundered Egypt. The Egyptians said, let us give you all of our wealth and all of our riches, and maybe these plagues will stop. Just get out of here and take everything that we have. That was their big emotional decision. So Pharaoh led the Hebrew people out of Egypt, right to the Red Sea. It's like, yay, we're free! Oh, there's a big body of water in the way. And here comes Pharaoh and his army, and now they're saying they want their stuff back. And they want us back, not because they love us, because they have a few more pyramids they want us to build. People looked at Moses and said, did you bring us out here to kill us? Moses endured. You know, one of the ways Moses kept enduring the obstacles is he went to God in prayer. And he said, God, what do you say? God said, Moses, I got this. There's going to be this big fire at night and this big cloud during the day, and it's going to separate you and your enemy. And if you'll just take that rod and... have you seen Charlton Heston do this? He just take that rod and hold it over the water, and the Red Sea will part, and you will go across on dry land. Moses led them across on dry land. When they got to the other side, the Egyptians said, we're going across too. Bad decision, right? Because as they tried to go across, God drowned them all. Took the wheels off their chariots. They couldn't get out. And they all lived happily ever after. Oh, some of you know the story. It didn't go that way. No, they got across on the other side and go, woohoo, life's awesome, until they started picking on Moses a little bit. So we're talking about Moses, right? This guy that had a lifestyle of enduring. And I'm pretty sure that Moses goes, we did it. Dun, 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 dun. You know. And then they said, Moses, you cannot have a wife like that. His brother and his sister started persecuting him because of his family. Do you ever get persecuted because of your family? They actually said, a white guy can't have a black wife. It was kind of a racial thing. Isn't it crazy that they were slaves because of a racial thing? And God set them free because of a racial thing? And they get on the other side of the Red Sea and they start out with another racial thing. Does that sound like people or what? Do you know that the greatest thing you're going to have to endure is people? My pastor's wife always said, serving God would be easy if it wasn't for people. She went a step further. She said, pastoring would be really fun if it wasn't for people. That wasn't so funny, huh? Marriage would be great if it wasn't for people. Having kids would be great if it wasn't for kids, you know? I mean, we can keep saying that all day, right? There's the amazing stuff and there's the hard stuff. You endure the hard stuff so you can enjoy the amazing stuff. It's like 1 million-plus people headed to the promised land, and all of a sudden they realize they're thirsty. And they didn't say, Moses, you're an amazing leader. They didn't say, Moses, I know you got this. What's next? They said, Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us with thirst? We would have been better off in Egypt. Guess who had to practice endurance again? Moses. So God, what do we do? God said, take that cool rod that I gave you. I'd like to have one of those, wouldn't you? Take that cool rod that I gave you and hit this rock, and there will be a spring of water coming out of that rock that will quench the thirst of 1 million-plus people and all their goats and cattle and oxen and everything else that they have. So Moses said, boom. I don't know if he said boom, but he went boom. Hit that rock, and just like God said, water came pouring out of it. And the people were happy, and they all lived happily ever after. Oh, maybe that's not the end of the story yet either. So they're no longer thirsty. But they say, Moses, you're a great leader. I mean, you got us out of Egypt. You give us water. You're part of the Red Sea. You're so cool. I know you got is there a McDonald's close by? Because we're all hungry. I know you got a plan. God says, tell them I'm going to do this manna thing. And every morning, there's going to be fresh food on the ground for them. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be like honey cakes, and they're going to love it. It's going to be nutritious, one food that you can eat and get all the 26 essential vitamins out of. You know, it's really cool. It's better than Total. It really is. Maybe that's where Total got their formula. I don't know. But they ate that one thing. But it wasn't long. How many of you like eating the same thing all day, every day? Anybody? Just me and Elisha, Mary, a couple of us. I mean, I could fix the big pot and eat it for 2 weeks. Not a problem. Kari hates leftovers, though. She eats it once and throws it away. It's like, no! Well, they got tired of eating the same thing. I'm sure there were lots of manna recipes. I'm sure you could have fixed it different ways. But they weren't vegans. They ended up wanting some meat. And so they politely asked Moses if he... No, they didn't do that, did they? They started murmuring and complaining and attacking him. Well, the goal of those people... I know, they act like us, don't they? They're experiencing miraculous manna, miraculous water. They were miraculously delivered out of Egypt. They miraculously crossed the Red Sea. Moses has a cool stick. Have I mentioned that? And now they're complaining because they want something else on the menu. I mean, it wasn't going to be long. God intended to get them to this land flowing with milk and honey and abundance. They had grapes so big it took two guys to carry a little cluster. I mean, God was leading them there, and it wouldn't be long. They just had to endure a little bit. But their endurance was that big. So they kept complaining and murmuring and whining. I say, God, forgive me for the times when my endurance should be like this, but instead I'm whining and complaining because my endurance is like that. And all I got to do is hang on a little while, and you're going to change it all, and it's all going to be great, unless I keep murmuring and complaining and disbelieving you. Last week we talked about faith, didn't we, and endurance. These guys lost their faith every other day, almost. So God said, God and Moses had the conversation again. Moses said, God, what are we going to do? He said, watch this. You guys wanted meat. I'm going to bring in quail hip high. You're going to be sick of meat before I'm done with you. There's going to be feathers everywhere. It's going to be stuck in your teeth. You're still going to be eating it when all of a sudden you're going to be sick of that too. So Moses did it. And then they all lived happily ever after. I'm really waiting for that day when we just all live happily ever after. That day's coming, but it's just not here yet. Until that day comes, we have to endure. Not just put up with bad stuff, but overcome bad stuff. Overcome it. Next week, I want to talk about the rock whisperer. Because Moses got mad. And he disobeyed God. And God said, I want you to talk to the rock. But he hit the rock. And he said something when he hit the rock. And next week we're going to talk about that. Let's talk about some lessons from this week. God hears the cry of his people, and we never endure alone. See, when God spoke to Moses that day at the bush, the cry of my people has come up, and I'm going to deliver them. I know some of you have been crying out to God, and God wants you to know he hears your cry, and you've been enduring. And you need to know you don't endure alone. He's with you. The time of hardship will not last forever. God has promises for us, but we must endure to experience the promises. If you're not experiencing the promise now, keep going. You will. Keep going. Keep on swimming or something, however that goes, right? God sends us to help others, and he sends others to help us. I kind of like that. God says, Moses, go help them. So God's sending people by to help you. I hope you recognize that. You need relationships. You need those. And you need to be somebody that God can tap on the shoulder and send to go help somebody else. When we endure and get delivered, God not only sets us free, but he blesses us and resources them. That was a cool thing about the story, was they didn't just go out with their children and their goat They plundered. They went out fully resourced. Fully resourced. And God wants to do that for you and for me. When Moses killed the guard, we talked about how he felt like maybe all of his enduring was for nothing and it was all over. But God was not finished yet. Do you know that whatever's going on in your life, God's not finished with you yet? To be continued. There's more to come. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. God loves to redefine your life. Remember Moses and the story was giving God all the reasons why he couldn't. And God says, can I redefine your life for you? Can I take the thing that you think is a limitation and use that to set people free? There's a lot of times in our church world right now, we refuse to function in areas that we're weak in. There's a cultural concept that says I can only function in my strengths. If you read the Bible, you just know that's not true. If you read the people that God chose, he always chose people that were weak. Didn't he? I mean, we could stay here for a long time and talk about all the people. We talk about David, this boy that his dad didn't like, his brothers didn't like, and God said, I like that boy. I'm going to make him my king. I mean, we could just go one after another after another. The Apostle Paul says it in the New Testament. Says God takes the foolish things and he uses those things. He takes the unwise and he uses those things and he confounds the wise. God loves to do that. But you and I need to know that when he taps us on the shoulder, I'm speaking today. I'm a pastor today. I never took speech class in high school. I worked around it. It was not quite required yet. The earth was still cooling back then, and it was a long time ago. And it wasn't quite required, but it was suggested strongly. And I skirted it and never took it because I didn't like to speak in public. I wasn't good at speaking in public. I was really insecure, really shy. Today I'm up here speaking because God says, can I use that thing that you don't think's any good? And so do I get any glory? I've always been a great orator. It's been my passion since I was a child. I knew I was destined for great things. No way. God said, I'm going to take this little scared or this big scared boy that hates speech and doesn't even want to talk to anybody. I'm going to make him a pastor. What's God doing for you? What's one of your weak areas that he says, let me use that? Go, no, God, we're not going to use that. We're going to hide that. Nope, let me use that. I'm going to do another lesson of endurance on my sermon length here again, aren't I, if I'm not careful? So do you know that God's not finished with you yet? To follow up that last thought, sometimes God asks you to do the thing you don't want to do and don't like to do and don't think you can do. Is God asking you, has he asked you, to do the thing you don't like to do and the thing you don't want to do? Because he's done that to me several times. You know what? It ended up being an amazing blessing for my life. Just give God your yes. He says, I made your mouth. I'll go with your mouth. I made whatever you're worried about. I made that. I'll go with that. It's fine. Where you're weak, I'm strong. It's okay. Let's go. Let's go. You can endure this. You can make it through this. At first, Moses wasn't willing to start, much less endure, but he ended up giving God his yes. He ended up saying yes to God. We can endure because God and all of his creative power is with us. What's Philippians 4:13 say? Anybody know? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? I can endure. I can have a lifestyle of enduring because Christ is with me. See, we're not talking about some self-help program here. We're going to just hype you up and send you out. Go get them. That'll be $48.95. No, it's like, we don't have that program here. This is all about Jesus Christ is with you, and because he's with you, you can endure, you can win, you will win. Just go win. Because of Jesus, he's with you. He's with you. When you think about quitting, remember why you started. That little phrase helps me a lot. When you think about quitting, remember why you started. That helps me with my marriage. Helps me with my parenting. I'm going to kill them little buggers. No, think why you started. I asked God for them. What was I thinking? No. Kelsey's sitting on the front bench here. It's really good for a weight loss program, too. When you think about quitting, remember why you started. Yesterday, I had 2 cupcakes. 2. It was the pre-birthday cake thing. But I want you to know that on the way home from Wendy's, I fully intended... Oh, did I say from Wendy's? I meant from Lewiston. I fully intended to have this big Frosty. I've learned how to drive and eat those at the same time. It takes a knee, and if you call me while I'm driving and eating one, that messes me up. But what was I talking about? Oh, dieting. When you're thinking about quitting, remember why you started. I better finish. Many times, things get worse instead of better in the middle of endurance. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. Many times, things get worse instead of better. It's like, I'm going to start this and it's all going to be so cool. No. It gets harder in the middle, but do not stop in the middle. Expect it's going to get harder. It's like, I'm going to start this new weightlifting program, and I'm going to be benching 450 pretty quick, you know? And the second day, it's I can't even lift my pencil. My muscles hurt so bad. I went from 185 to an ounce. It did not get better. It got worse. Yeah, but keep pumping the weights. It'll get better. Don't quit now. Here's a lesson that I've learned, that Moses learned, that probably you've learned too. A lot of times the people you're trying to help will turn and attack you. Help them anyway. Endure anyway. If we're not careful, we go, oh, if that's how you feel. Oh, I'm just trying to help you, and that's how you feel. I'm going to unfriend you. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to never talk to you again. I am not helping you. If we're not careful, we fail to endure. But the people you're trying to help, remember all those times I said, and they lived happily ever after, but they didn't. Like, okay, we're through it now. We're good. We're buds. We're close. Right now, we got this good, close relationship thing going. Only until the next time. But keep helping them anyway. Keep loving them anyway. Keep forgiving them anyway. Somebody needs to hear that today. Keep doing that anyway. Let me conclude with the end. Wouldn't that be great? I'll skip a bunch of stuff in the middle. Moses was not a victim. He was an overcomer. See, people that fail to endure, they become a victim. Don't be a victim. Don't stay a victim. Don't live a lifestyle of a victim. Want me to describe that? I don't think I have to. I think we all know. Do not live the lifestyle of a victim. Live the lifestyle of endurance. Be an overcomer like Moses was an overcomer. Pastor Arby's going to come close us out.
All right. And speaking of enduring, I'm not going to throw a number out there, but Pastor Kelly has...